This is Fresh Air. Spike Lee's film Black Klansman tells the story of Ron Stallworth, a black Colorado Springs police officer who, in 1979, successfully infiltrated a local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan. Stallworth is played by John David Washington, who leads an ensemble that includes Adam Driver, Laura Harrier, and Topher Grace. The film won the Grand Prix at the 2018 Cannes Film Festival. Film critic Justin Chang has this review.
The idea of a black police officer pretending to be a member of the Ku Klux Klan sounds ridiculous, like an old Dave Chappelle sketch turned inside out. Except that it really happened. The astonishing circumstances of Ron Stallworth's undercover investigation, as detailed in his 2014 memoir, have now been shaped by the director Spike Lee into a blisteringly funny and urgent new film called Black Klansman. It's many movies squeezed into one. A tense police procedural, a wacky riff on Cyrano de Bergerac, a snapshot of the 70s, and the parallel rise of white supremacy and black power. But Lee, a fearless chronicler of racial injustice in films like Do the Right Thing and Bamboozled, gives this material a startling coherence. His anger is matched by his discipline. John David Washington plays Stallworth, who becomes the first African-American cop in the Colorado Springs Police Department, and encounters more than enough racism from some of his colleagues. He eventually works his way into the intelligence department, where one day he sees a newspaper ad for the Klan and decides to dial the number. Accidentally using his real name, he convincingly presents himself as a hopeful candidate for the Klan, or the organization, as its members insist on calling it. In time, the Klan requests a meeting with Stallworth, which presents an obvious logistical challenge. The solution he comes up with is clumsy but surprisingly effective. He'll be Ron Stallworth on the phone, while a white detective, Flip Zimmerman, played by Adam Driver, will pretend to be Stallworth in person. Zimmerman tackles the job reluctantly, to the point where Stallworth calls him out for not being more personally invested as a Jewish man.
Well, I'm not risking my life to prevent some rednecks from lighting a couple sticks on fire.
This is the job. What's your problem?
That's my problem. For you, it's a crusade. For me, it's a job. It's not personal, nor should it be.
Why haven't you bought into this?
Why should I?
Because you're Jewish, brother. The so-called chosen people. You've been passing for a WASP. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, cherry pie hot dog white boy. That's what some light-skinned black folks do. They pass for white. Doesn't that hatred you've been hearing the Klan say, doesn't that piss you off?
Of course it does.
Then why are you acting like you ain't got skin in the game, brother?
Rookie, that's my business.
It's our business. I'm going to get you your membership card so you can go to the cross burning and get in deeper with these guys.
Naturally, this double impersonation act could go wrong in any number of ways, and go wrong it does. But Spike Lee, who worked with three other writers on the script, ingeniously plays the material for laughs as well as jolts. In some of the funniest "did this really happen" moments, Stallworth chats on the phone with a young David Duke, the grand wizard and national director of the Klan. He's played by a terrifically restrained Topher Grace, who makes Duke the most businesslike of buffoons, rattling on and on about the inherent superiority of white men like himself and Stallworth. Things are less amusing and more dangerous for Zimmerman, who gets away with fooling most of his new Klansman buddies, except for the hot-tempered Felix, played by the terrific Finnish actor Jasper Pakonen. At times, the redneck-baiting humor feels overdone, in part because Klansmen are such easy targets. Lee shows them to be stupid, hateful, and for all their macho bluster, pretty ineffectual. Lee has famously never been one for subtlety or straightforward realism, and he gives Black Klansmen a playfully didactic structure. He indicts America's own troubling cinematic heritage with clips from The Birth of a Nation and Gone with the Wind, which he balances out with more appreciative references to blaxploitation classics like Coffee and Superfly. He pushes back against the Klan's racist rhetoric with galvanizing speeches on black resistance from visiting speakers like Jerome Turner, played in a beautiful cameo by Harry Belafonte, and Stokely Carmichael, here going by his adopted African name of Kwame Ture. Laura Harrier has a key role as a black college activist named Patrice, who begins dating Stallworth, unaware that he's a detective. When Patrice refers to cops as pigs, Stallworth recoils, as surely as if she'd used a racist slur. In these moments, Black Klansman becomes a searingly honest inquiry into the riddles of identity, the personal causes we identify ourselves with, the battles we choose to fight and not to fight. Lee knows that these questions haunt the past, but also the present, and he gives the movie a hellishly confrontational finale. You will laugh a lot during Black Klansman, but when the subject shifts to the resurgence of white nationalism in the Trump era, your laughter may die in your throat.
Justin Chang is a film critic for the Los Angeles Times. On Monday's show... Psycho killer. The co-founder of Sire Records, Seymour Stein, who discovered Talking Heads and the Ramones and signed Madonna and Ice-T. He has a new memoir. Also, Jim Gavin, creator of the new AMC series Lodge 49, about a bereaved surfer named Dud who stumbles upon a declining fraternal order like the Elks. Hope you can join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Our associate producer for digital media is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley. We'll end today's show by celebrating a bit of music history. 50 years ago this week, just 4 months after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., James Brown recorded Say It Loud. Recording with him in the Los Angeles studio were a group of young people from Compton and Watts. The song stayed at number one on the R&B singles charts for 6 weeks.
We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else.